Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
In our second lesson this morning, we listened to a beautiful description of love, a very specific kind of love. In Greek, it is agape. In Latin, it is caritas. And in the King James Bible, it is charity, the selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love of God for man, of man for God, and the Christian for his neighbor. St. Paul writes, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." These beautiful and very powerful words are found in one of the most famous, most quoted chapters in the Bible. If you want to hear an amazing description of love, you just open to what is often referred to as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. These inspired words written by St. Paul are so comforting and so familiar. Yet, as I looked over the lessons appointed for this Sunday, I came across another scripture. One that is equally as powerful as this description of love, but in a very different way. And as I read to you this morning, you may notice a common thread that runs through both lessons. This lesson, meant to be read today at evening prayer, tells the story of the stoning death of St. Stephen, a deacon, the first Christian martyr, a man the Bible says was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. The book of Acts tells us that Stephen spoke boldly to the Sanhedrin. That was the group of men that legislated all aspects of Jewish religious and political life. And that when they heard the things that he said, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the glory of God and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul is the common thread in these two lessons. This young man who was an accomplice in the death of the very first Christian martyr would later be known as St. Paul, the man who God inspired to write the definition of Christian love. The book of Acts is where we meet Saul before his conversion on the road to Damascus. And if you were a Christian in those early days, he was not a man that you would want to encounter. Acts describes Saul of Tarsus as a zealous Pharisee bent on protecting Judaism and eliminating the followers of Jesus. After he consented to the death of St. Stephen, we are told that he made havoc of the church, entering into houses, hailing men and women, and committing them to prison. We also read here that Saul was breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Threatening and slaughter. The verses in the lesson for evening prayer describe him as a murderer. And in the lesson that Ted wrote, read this morning, he speaks to the church about selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Does that seem more than just a little strange to you? Time and again, as I read the Bible, I'm astonished by its truth. This is not the way that we would write the story. We wouldn't pick the man who was the enemy, who was wreaking havoc on the church, who was breathing out threatening and slaughter to write the definition of Christian love. Once again, we are confronted with the mystery and wonder of God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He dwells in light inaccessible. As I considered these lessons, I remembered a poem that I shared with you guys a few years ago. This poem perfectly describes the way God touched my life. Perhaps it relates to you as well. And I offer the words today as the only possible explanation for the complete transformation in the life of a man that we know as St. Paul. The poem is titled "The Touch of the Master's Hand." Man, it was written by Myra Brooks Welch in 5 minutes. She wrote, "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "'What am I bid, good people?' he cried. "'Who starts the bidding for me? $1? $1. Do I hear two? $2. Who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow, and wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings. He played a melody, pure and sweet, as sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for this old violin?" as he held it aloft with its bow. "1,000? 1,000. Do I hear two? 2,000. Who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice. Going and gone," said he. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand. What changed its worth?" And swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man, with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with sin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once. He's going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. So listen to how the book of Acts describes Saul being touched by the master's hand. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.'" When the resurrected Christ touched Saul, it was death. Death to the old man and life to St. Paul the Apostle. The hand of God touched Paul, and he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" From that day forward, Paul tells us his only work was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. His life became a tireless proclaiming and living out of the message of the cross, which is, we will not be auctioned cheap. The worth of our soul is found in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has wiped off the dust, tightened up the strings, and we are all a new creation in Him, bought at the highest price. God has shown us our worth through the precious death and sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And when we even begin to fathom that truth, our lives are forever changed. As we, like St. Paul, labor, striving according to His working, which worketh mightily in me. So no matter what the foolish crowd says of you or your worth, no matter what you may at times whisper to yourself about your worth, be encouraged today, because God is at work in you mightily. None of us are left on our own to collect dust and to fall into disrepair. We simply must be willing to respond to the touch of the Master's hand. So may we, like St. Paul, do so and let his words be our constant prayer. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.